I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Sam Fortier covers the Washington football team for the Washington Post. He's with us right now. I'm going to ask you the question that we were just asking callers and we were debating kind of amongst ourselves, and that is, what exactly are we witnessing right now with this football team? Is it a team right now, Sam, that is surging towards a playoff berth? Is it a team that's just improved a little bit and, you know, won't get there, will go 2-4 or 3-3 down the stretch, or is it a head fake? Is it fool's gold what we've watched? What do you think we've been witnessing here over the last few weeks?
I think as of right now, the evidence we have suggests that it is somewhere between fool's gold and you know, a real surge. And by that, I mean, I think that they have shown that their, you know, their defense and the secondary, they've shown that they can be very good against some very good passers, particularly with that those three safeties and, you know, the way they can disguise coverages. I think that is a legitimate surge, a legitimate, you know, improvement, as is the defensive line, ironically, probably, because if you listen to Ron Rivera, he continually talks about how much better they are at rush lane discipline, and you can see the tangible benefits of those, you know, sacking Cam Newton on that game sealing defensive stand. But the offense, I think, that is a little bit harder to pin down, because while they have been able to control the clock, while they have been able to keep quarterbacks off the field, I don't think that the clock controlling ground and pound is a sustainable way to win week in and week out. And I'm not knocking that it's a good strategy, but I just wonder, the first time that they get down two touchdowns, can you still employ that strategy and win? If Las Vegas, which has a very explosive offense, if they, you know, put two, you know, if they put 14 on you early, can you still say, hey, we're going to, you know, give it to Antonio Gibson and run this way and still win a game? Or can you put it on Taylor Heinicke and can he throw you back into it? I think that's a big remaining question for this offense.
It's an interesting way to think about it, you know, with your last line there. Can Taylor Heinicke throw you back into a game that you're getting, you know, that you're getting beat and you're down two scores in? The evidence would say no, he can't, because they haven't done that, right? You know, in the games that they've been down multiple scores, he hasn't been able to do that. But what they have been able to do in many of those games is continue to move the football. You know, that's the thing, right? They have moved the football now for essentially 7 weeks in a row, 8 weeks in a row, if you go back to the Atlanta game. They have not had a difficult time moving the football. Even against Kansas City, they were a 41-yard field goal away from having a six-point lead midway through the third quarter. They just haven't been able to finish enough, and now they've been finishing more, although they didn't the other night. It's an interesting way to look at it. The bottom line is they haven't been in that position the last 3 weeks. And for most teams, right, Sam, if you don't go down two scores, you're going to have a much better chance of winning.
Yeah, that's a totally legitimate point. But to me, I think that a part of the reason, and I think it's the reason that they're running the ball so much, and the reason that I think they haven't been able to finish drives, are sort of interconnected, because obviously, like, the name of the game in the NFL right now is chunk plays. That's what you're seeing for the most explosive offenses. And whether it be because you don't have your full complement of weapons, Logan Thomas and Curtis Samuel would certainly be helpful in producing explosive plays. But if you look at the numbers, I mean, Washington is still in the bottom third of the league in terms of producing those explosive plays. And whether that be Antonio Gibson and his shin earlier in the year, maybe it's because, you know, running plays are just, you know, not as prone to producing those explosive plays. Washington is not getting those chunk plays. If you hit them, offensive coordinator Scott Turner talked about this earlier in the year. If you hit one chunk play, your odds of scoring, you know, any points at all go up. I believe it's, you know, 25%. If you hit two, it's 50%, and three, and so on. So I think it's a part of not finishing is baked into the rushing first attack they have, which I'm not saying is wrong. It's obviously been a good strategy the last 3 weeks. They've scored, they've won, but I do think it's a fundamental question. Can they produce more explosive plays? Can Taylor Heinicke win a game with his arm, you know, with the focus on his arm primarily? And I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying that we don't have the evidence that they can yet.
Yeah. Look, I think we're talking to Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. I think we all as football fans, you know, believe that in this day and age, you've got to be able to produce explosive plays through the pass game, or you can't win a Super Bowl. You know, you can't win three straight playoff games to get there, or, you know, if you're a one seed, two playoff games to get there for the most part. However, you know, they have an identity right now that's turned around their season. And made them, you know, made them a competitive football team. So, with respect to where it's headed, you said it's somewhere in between fool's gold and a surge. Well, those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. So, where are you closer towards? Do you think that this is a team capable of winning 3 to 4 of its final six and making the postseason or not?
I do. I think they are capable of it because. Despite everything that I said, that, you know, the cautions and the, you know, skepticism, I guess, of, hey, can you continue to win this way? Can you continue to hold the ball for 40 minutes? Can you continue to convert third downs on the way that you have? Because to me, you know, I think the way they've been converting third downs is sort of like earlier in the year when they were allowing, you know, nearly 60% third downs. That was not going to continue. I know that, you know, they might not have been, you know, the best third down defensive team in the league anyway, but I'm saying like those numbers probably won't continue. So to directly answer your question, I think I'm closer to this is a legitimate thing because running on the ground, if you can keep it within a one score game, if you can keep it within 10 points, it's still a legitimate, useful offensive strategy. And they're very good at it. And, you know, the complement of running backs they have, the way their offensive line is blocking, I think those are legitimate signs of progress. And if Taylor Heinicke, you know, shows he can continue to grow as this is only his, you know, this is week 14, basically, in his NFL starting career, I think there's a lot to be optimistic about as well.
Talking to Sam Fortier from the Washington Post, how much credit does Ron Rivera and his staff get for 2-6 to 5-6 with legitimate, meaningful games in December?
A lot. And if you look at Ron Rivera's track record for summer, he turns into Vince Lombardi in December, basically by win percentage. And so, I mean, this is always what he's done. These second half comebacks have always been a thing. And it's funny because last year, a colleague of mine, Les Carpenter, talked to former Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly and former Panthers center Ryan Khalil, because last season really mirrored some of, you know, Ron's seasons in 2011 and 2012, particularly in 2012. I mean, he was on the hot seat in Carolina. You know, people were talking about his job, and then they surged in the second half to at least, you know, have a respectable end of the season. And so he asked Luke Kuechly, why does Ron do this? Why is he always good in the second half? And Luke Kuechly said, basically, when Ron stands up there in front of a meeting and you're 1-7 or whatever you are and says, like, I believe we're still in this, like when you look into his eyes, he really believes it and he makes you believe it. And the power of that is something that's extremely real. So, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of schematic explanations, right? Like moving Landon to Buffalo Nickel and Cam Curl to strong safety and finding this offensive rushing attack. All those things I think are part of it. But Ron Rivera has shown consistently year over year in the last decade of his coaching career that he can turn these teams around in the second half. I think we're seeing that, you know, once again.
You know, 3 weeks ago, it was essentially over. The season was dead on arrival at 2-6. They were not a good football team at all, and there were a lot of questions about the direction of the football franchise and a lot of questions about him. And I'm wondering, and by the way, you know, we've talked a lot about this, and I agree with you. I think he deserves a lot of the credit. There is clearly a leadership capability, you know, a leader of men capability that he has, and he's proven it in the past. And I wonder if what we're learning more than anything else, with maybe just not the three previous games, but maybe whatever happens over the final six, that whatever the question about the quarterback is, that debate will continue, and maybe it'll end over the next 6 weeks, but that they have the right guy as their head coach, that maybe that's what we're learning. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that Ron would say that about the second half comebacks, that he wished that he wouldn't be in position to have to make them, that he wished that they would start strong just right away. But yes, I think that you're right. I mean, when you talk about leadership, when you talk about a professionalism, a level of competency that you want to see from this organization, when that's what you want your players to emulate, I think there is a certain baseline that has been established. And even it's funny because Landon Collins has obviously been an outspoken critic of his role, right? But, you know, he is a professional in the sense that I think that he has said, you know, Ron has really changed the culture around here. I mean, it's we've talked about that plenty. But yes, I do think there is a leadership quality, a certain baseline that has been established that is probably not easy to establish. And I know it's probably harder for Ron, and he said earlier this year it takes 3 to 5 years than he expected. But yeah, I think that they are really establishing something now in terms of building that confidence. I think that's why you saw Ron so fired up coming off the field the other night.
Yeah, and both of the locker room speeches over the last 2 weeks. But, you know, I want to make one thing clear, not necessarily to you, although I want to make it clear to you, but to the people that are listening, I don't think Ron's an elite X's and O's guy. You know, I think there are a lot of coaches, trust me, if they were available and they were willing to come here, I'd love it. But, you know, considering where this franchise is as a whole, I don't know how much better you could do than Ron. And he, as you said, there's a leadership capability that I think we're starting to see, and it's some of the things that quality players, Hall of Fame players like Luke Kuechly, saw in him and believed in him, and others now here. You know, we've talked to some of those players that there's a belief in him. And by the way, they have a real adult, you know, a high quality person and an adult in the building. They haven't had that in a long time. So I think that's part of it as well. We're talking to Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. What's been, through 11 weeks of this season, the biggest surprise to you about this team?
I think that, I mean, it would have to be that the defensive line wasn't better until they lost their two premier edge rushers. I think also some of the ways that they've used William Jackson, and they played a lot of zone. If you look at various number sites, I think 80% of coverages in the last 3 weeks have been zone.
Yep.
I think a lot of the defensive questions for me have been a little bit puzzling. And that's not to say they're ineffective, because in the last 3 weeks they've allowed no more than 21 points, which they only did twice in their first 8 games. So obviously, I mean, and you're not on the field a lot, as we've talked about, so that helps. But I would say still some of those defensive question marks that have been surprising to me. And then I would probably say the offensive line playing as well as they have with as many injuries they have. Obviously, Ron, you know, before the season talked about how he wanted to make that a priority and build that up. But what they've been able to withstand and how they've been able to produce, especially when we talk about the offensive identity this team has right now, that's extremely impressive to me.
You didn't say Taylor Heinicke, so that's my next question for you. Where are you on Taylor Heinicke and the question of Taylor Heinicke now and in the future?
So to me, I talked to NFL Network analyst Kurt Warner a couple weeks ago, and I thought he had a very helpful way to understand this. And he said that he thinks about franchise quarterbacks in a ratio. You need to have a certain ratio of special plays to layups that make you a franchise quarterback. So let's say, you know, Patrick Mahomes is on one end of the spectrum where he can make all the special plays and a lot of the layups. And then on the low end, you have Carson Palmer, who can make very few special plays, but he made all of his layups, or almost all of his layups. And he was like, Taylor Heinicke has the athleticism and the talent to be on that spectrum, but he is too inconsistent right now. He is not producing. He is not hitting those layups on the same level that would make his, you know, special play ratio worth it. And he was like, I'm not digging on the guy. I don't think that he can't get there, but he has not been consistent enough. That was before the Tampa Bay game. And I think since the Tampa Bay game, we have seen him hit those layups. We have seen him make those special plays, the 4th-and-3 to John Bates in Carolina. We have seen that ratio from him. But can he continue it? What does he look like over these last 6 games? I think that would go a long, long way in establishing that he can be that guy. He can have that consistency. So to me, positive signs. Can he keep it going?
I think that's – we're talking to Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. It's a very interesting way that Warner described it to you. And by the way, you know, there are similarities, obviously, in how they arrived in the league and what happened, although Kurt Warner had, you know, a gun for an arm and a super quick release and, you know, an unbelievable IQ for the game. I'm not saying that Taylor doesn't have a high IQ for the game because I think he does. But I think it's interesting because if you asked him now, I wonder what he would say. But more importantly – I think, you know, injected with truth serum, the coaching staff and the front office would say, maybe not in the same way, but would have said essentially the same thing during the bye week. But I wonder what they would say now. I asked Ron that last week. I said, if people in the building maybe changed their mind, and he said, maybe they have. And that was after the Carolina game. So do you think, Dave, that he's got a chance to totally change their mind? And at the end of this thing, they've got their quarterback for the next few years.
I really think it goes back to, honestly, the first thing we talked about, which was, is there going to be a situation down the stretch where he has to win them a game, where he has to throw them back into it? And because if you don't have that guy, I'm not saying that a franchise needs to have Patrick Mahomes to win, right? But can he be a guy where you're down 2 scores in the second half and he can manage you or throw you back into the game? I think that while he's shown a lot, while I think that people in the building, I mean, Scott Turner needed no convincing, obviously, that he is champion Heinicke throughout his entire career, but have personnel, has the front office, have other people changed their minds? I don't think that's a question. I think that his teammates particularly have always believed that. I think that he has some of those intrinsic leadership capabilities that Ron talked about. Ron wanted to see, you know, decision-making, leadership. And, you know, Ron says he leans into the huddle sometimes at practice and he sees Taylor call the huddle, and it can remind him sometimes of Phillip Rivers, and who he holds in high esteem in terms of leadership. So I think Taylor has the intangibles. I think that he has the respect of his teammates, which obviously, as we've seen from past quarterback situations, should not be taken for granted. But can he, when you need him to make plays, when you need him to keep his head, but also make explosive plays to get you back into a game, can he do that? I think that remains an open question.
That's the whole thing. Well, look, Ron's also said something that I think makes total sense, which is they don't have to make a decision today. You know, they've got 6 games left, maybe more than 6. And that is, you know, not equal to the snapshot we have right now at 12 games or 13 games, but it ends up being a third of it. All right, we're talking to Sam Fortier. You wrote about Curtis Samuel yesterday. Will he be on a pitch count Sunday in Vegas? Do you know that or not?
No, and Curtis, I thought, had an interesting answer when he said, I don't ask. I don't want to know what the pitch count is because I'm going to prepare to play like I'm going to play every snap. So that's where he's at.
Okay, lastly, and I have not done this today because I just didn't want to do it today. We did enough of it yesterday about Griffin. But you tweeted out yesterday something that we all saw, which is not only RG3's wife, but RG3 himself explaining that the experience that he discussed in that video of seeing and witnessing sexual harassment in Washington wasn't necessarily him seeing it with respect to others, which would have brought into play, right, the question of, well, what's taking you so long to talk about it? you know, or what's going to take you another, you know, 10 months or 9 months to talk about it. He was very clear, and his wife was very clear on social media yesterday to say that he's not talking about other people's experiences with sexual harassment in Washington. He's talking about his own experience with sexual harassment in Washington. What the hell do you think he's talking about?
I have no insight there, and I wish I did. I am very curious to see what he says when he does, you know, publish this book. I believe it's due out next August, but I have no insight into either what he experienced or what he is, you know, saying happened while he was there.
Do you think that was just a, you know, we didn't think this thing through about, you know, claiming that we saw sexual harassment and why didn't we do anything about it? So this is a way out of it for the time being, and they'll forget this by the time they get to the book in August. Like, part of me thinks that it's all BS.
It seems possible. It's totally on the table. I think that I was not here during the RG3 years here, but I went and did a story about him in Baltimore in the summer of 2018. And it does seem like he is, what's the word here? Maybe inscrutable. Like it's kind of hard to figure out, at least for me, when I was doing this story and, you know, reading Dave Cheyenne's book and, you know, reading some old clips about like, oh, you know, what was he like in Washington? It seems like it's maybe hard to pin down what he's thinking. And so that's my perspective on what we're looking at here. And what you have suggested is, I feel like, definitely on the table, although, you know, I don't have any evidence to suggest whether or not that's true.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons I've said over the years, I think he actually would make a great politician. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it, as always. Really enjoy the conversation.
Of course. Thanks, Kevin. Anytime.
Sam Fortier, everybody. Follow him on Twitter, at Sam4TR, and he wrote a column yesterday about Curtis Samuel. Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Talk. When we come back, we'll do some NFL true or false, perhaps, by the end of the show as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com, and we are also on the Odyssey app. December cold is arriving. It's arriving soon after a beautiful day today, by the way. And that means higher energy bills. Window Nation can help with a house of windows for only $99 a month, basically for a cup of coffee a day. Hurry, this incredible deal is only good through the end of December. The longer you've got old drafty windows, the more money you're wasting on heating and cooling bills. Window Nation saved customers over $40 million on their energy bills. And with natural gas prices continuing to rise, your energy bill is going to say something this winter that you can avoid it saying, and that is it's going to be the highest you've ever seen it, and it will be because you've got old drafty windows more likely than not. And by the way, increase your curb appeal and your home's overall value with new windows. If you've been thinking about new windows, if you and your spouse or the people you're living with, we need new windows in this place, please give Window Nation the first shot. They'll give you a free estimate, so you've got nothing to risk. You call them at 866-90-NATION, or you go to windownation.com, tell them that I told you to call, and they will give you a free estimate. They'll even, if you're concerned about, you know, people coming into your home right now, they'll do an online free quote as well. Shop it if you want. You're not going to get a better deal. Right now, you can get a house full of windows for only $99 a month. The natural gas prices are going to kill your energy bills this winter. They're going to result in much higher bills. New Window Nation windows will help big time. Get a house full of windows for only $99 a month. This offer won't last long. Call them now at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com and tell them that Kevin Sheehan sent you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're getting close to fantasy football playoff time, I think. Nearing it. Where are we on that? Are we, Charch, are we at, how many weeks from playoff time? Do we have Charch
from
yet?
From playoff time, yeah. So we're getting close.
Start your answer over again. You weren't potted up yet.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we're 2 weeks away. So we're very, very close in most leagues. We're very close to the playoffs. Usually it's 15, 16, and 17 are your playoff weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're getting closer. Also, a trade deadline time in many leagues as well.
All right, let's start with the game tonight. Paul Charchian joining us as he does every Thursday in this spot. Charch, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Paul Charchian. You can listen to his podcast, Fantasy Football Weekly, and Chop. One of the all-time best at telling you what to do with your fantasy football team. So what are the Cowboys going to look like tonight with Cooper and Lamb, you know, with Cooper back in the lineup in particular and maybe more health on offense than they've had in the last couple of weeks?
You're going to see a lot of passing in this game, I believe. I love Dak Prescott's opportunities here. You mentioned he get all three of the receivers on the field for the first time since, like, the first quarter of week one was the last time all three of those receivers were on the field same time, and a very favorable matchup against a Saints secondary that has been really spotty. At one point, cornerback Marshon Lattimore was one of the better young prospects, and he's really fallen off. He's allowed the most yardage in his coverage of any cornerback.
Wow.
And then the other part of this is Ezekiel Elliott just isn't good. You know, right now the best running back on roster is Tony Pollard. And I think it's not even up for debate. Tony Pollard, a Pro Football Focus, ranks Pollard fourth among running backs, and Zeke ranks 29th. He's ahead of Zeke in yards after contact, long gains, elusiveness. Basically, any metric you want, Pollard is better than Zeke in right now. And over the last, since week five, his last good game, and that's a long time ago now, week five, Zeke's averaging 3.5 yards per carry. That's it. Pollard's averaging a full extra yard per carry over that same span. Pollard's better. And I think they're at some point, I think fantasy owners have to start giving real thought to whether or not they're even Zeke is an automatic start like he has been throughout his career.
Well, and you also bring into the conversation just the whole running back thing, right? I mean, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Zeke Elliott. You know, when people are drafting back in August and everybody's taking running backs, should that be a totally rethought strategy moving forward?
Yes, it should, as a matter of fact. Thank you. So let's go through these first-round running backs. Christian McCaffrey, disaster season. He was the first overall player taken. Dalvin Cook was the second overall player taken. Sidelined three different times. Won't play this week. Probably won't play for another 2 or 3 weeks. Derrick Henry, season ended week 8. Alvin Kamara played just 8 games so far, and he's going to miss tonight's game. Nick Chubb missed 3 games. We just talked about Zeke, deeply underperforming. Saquon Barkley, right. His last touchdown was week 4, and his last game with more than 57 rushing yards, which is not a lot. 57 rushing yards. 2019, it's been 2 years since Saquon Barkley's top 57 rushing yards. Cam Akers, another first-round running back, he was dead before the season started. Your only surviving running backs that were first-rounders, And these guys weren't even all first rounders in some leagues. Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones, that's it. And Kevin, meanwhile, if you pivoted from running back, the four non-running backs who got taken, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, and Travis Kelce were the only players who went in the first round as non-running backs, and they're all fine. They've all performed.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when in doubt, just whoever Kyle Shanahan selects and whoever's on their practice squad, you just always have to pay attention because Elijah Mitchell at this point has to be a big-time winner for anybody that has him.
Yeah, man, if Kyle Shanahan can run the ball, he will run the ball. Mitchell with back-to-back games with 27 carries.
Yeah.
It's astounding. And, you know, when you look forward, the Niners have the fifth easiest schedule against the run left, including strongly positive matchup this Sunday against Seattle. He's my fourth-ranked running back for this week going up against Seattle. Seattle ranks 25th in rushing yards allowed, 27th in rushing scores allowed, and Mitchell looks like he's sitting on what's going to be a powerful playoff run for those that pivoted to him. And by the way, undrafted in almost all leagues.
Speaking of backup running backs, what do you make of Madison's spot this week for Cook against Detroit? He's obviously performed previously and against Detroit. Also, where do you have him on your backs?
Yeah, that earlier Detroit game that you alluded to, 153 yards against Detroit in the earlier matchup and total yards. And he's finished as a top 10 fantasy running back in his two full games without Dalvin Cook this year, averaging 32 touches per game when Cook doesn't play. So you get all the volume from Madison. So I love him here. He's my fifth-ranked running back this week.
Real quickly, we're talking to Charch. Of course, we're talking fantasy football with Charch. What do you make of Taysom Hill, who's going to get the start tonight against the Cowboys?
Yeah, this is fascinating because Taysom Hill is the poster boy for players who are not good in real life but are good in fantasy. Because he's a barely functional passer, but when he runs the ball, which he does a lot, he becomes a very viable fantasy back. You know, we got the four starts from him last year, Kevin, and he ended up being a top 10 fantasy quarterback in three of those 4 weeks.
Wow.
Because of the rushing.
He
averaged 53 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown per game. That makes him a lead running back. And then the passing is just gravy on top of that. He topped 233 yards in three of the four starts. He threw two touchdowns in two of the four games. So, you know, he's very good that way. Now, tough matchup tonight. Dallas has evolved into a terrific pass defense. Over the past five games in which they faced Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, and Matt Ryan, they're giving up 239 passing yards. That's it. And 0.6 passing touchdowns. So a very tough passing matchup for Taysom Hill, who is a boom or bust guy tonight.
Well, Carr had a big game on Thanksgiving night, yardage-wise anyway. I forget how many touchdowns he had. And that's a perfect segue into our game here on Sunday. You know, we've got a team that's won three in a row, Charge, and is literally, as we speak, the seventh seed in the NFC playoff picture, which is remarkable considering where we were a month ago. Give me the players in this Raiders-Washington matchup that you would definitely think about starting.
Well, Gibson now, in those three games, he's averaged 24 carries for 90 yards, and he scored twice. And now with J.D. McKissick's, you know, question mark status, Gibson is a top. He's my number six ranked running back this week. So I think he's automatically in here. We're watching the health status of Larson and Schweitzer. Hopefully they're going to be able to go in this game. And maybe you already know. Maybe they will go, but hopefully that's the case. Raiders are 29th in touchdowns allowed to running backs. And so I think he gets in the end zone here. Taylor Heinicke is flirting with you know, a certain level of competency here, where you feel like you can give him some starts. It hasn't always been super effective, but it's been effective enough. The catches, Las Vegas has been a fantastic pass defense, other than when they're facing elite quarterbacking like Patrick Mahomes. If you take Mahomes, Prescott, and Justin Herbert away, they're only giving up 210 passing yards and one touchdown per game. So I don't love the passing options this week. I love Gibson in this game.
I think important for Washington fans will be the status of Darren Waller. Do you have any idea what his status is for Sunday?
Not expected to go, but the catch is Foster Moreau is the best backup tight end in the league, and
really?
He will do everything that Waller did. He'll run all the same routes, get the same number of looks. In the one game Waller missed before, Foster Moreau brought in 6 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. And so he picks up – they don't lose much in the drop-off to Foster Moreau. He's not a household name, but he's great.
Yeah. By the way, Deshaun with that big game on Thanksgiving. And remember, against the Chiefs, he had the big bomb and then he fumbled it.
Yes, he did,
which was a big play in that game, even though it turned into a lopsided game. We're talking to Paul Charchian. I remember the first time I saw Foster Moreau, and I'm like, when did Fabian Moreau become an offensive player? But anyway, because it was F. Moreau, and I thought, how many F. Moreaus could there be in the league? All right, give me just the game, the sleepers. Give me a couple of other nuggets for the weekend.
Yeah. If you're in a spot for a quarterback this week with four teams on the bye, Tyrod Taylor, available in 80% of leagues, and goes up against the Colts, the team that's allowed the most passing touchdowns, multiple touchdowns in 8 different games this year. And Taylor also can be dangerous on the ground. And if I look at other comparable more mobile quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, they all average 7 yards a carry against the Colts. So Tyrod Taylor's a sneaky start. And then Boston Scott, the sometimes number one, sometimes number two running back for the Eagles. You know, Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard aren't healthy, and Scott's getting a ton of carries, including at the goal line. For a guy who's 5'6", they give him goal line carries, and it's the Jets this week. They're dead last by Pro Football Focus in rush defense. They're last in rushing touchdowns allowed. They're 26th in yards per carry. So, yeah, Boston Scott, another sneaky play for you.
Yeah, he had a back-breaking fumble late in that game Sunday against the Giants on a big run, by the way, when they were down 13-7.
Yes.
He coughed it up. But, yeah, it seems like Philadelphia just keeps rushing for 200-plus every week, and obviously a big part of that is just having the dual-threat quarterback with Hurts. Charch, thanks.
Helps.
As always.
Yeah, lots of fun.
We'll chat next week. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, Paul Charchian, everybody. We'll finish up with some NFL true or false. Also, did you see the 4 overtime game last night in college basketball? I'll tell you a little bit about it when we come back. Maybe a smell test pick, too, for the Thursday night game. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Just wanted to mention real quickly, if you want to hear what we had to say about NFL playoff scenarios involving Washington, we did something early in the show. You can use the Odyssey app and use the rewind button, or just go to the podcast of the show and listen to hour one. I also did a mini breakdown of Maryland's loss, but I wanted to mention before we finish up with some NFL true or false, that last night, like 2 nights ago, I think I mentioned, Brendan, the Indiana-Syracuse game, which was such a crazy game on Tuesday night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge that went to double overtime, ended up 112-110. Last night, a 4-overtime game between Nebraska and NC State. NC State won 104-100. It was a wild game where Nebraska seemingly had the game won multiple times in regulation and in the first overtime, second overtime, third overtime, and then they ended up losing in the fourth overtime, 104-100. I think they said, and I could be wrong, it was either the first 4-overtime game in NC State history or it was the first 4-overtime game in ACC history. I'm not sure which it was, but it was one of those two. By the way, also, you know who has been the biggest disappointment in college basketball so far through the first 3 weeks? How about Michigan? Michigan was ranked fourth in the country. They were thought to be a national championship contender this year with Hunter Dickinson et al. Michigan is about to fall out of the rankings completely. They got blown out in Chapel Hill last night by 21 to a Carolina team that was struggling. They also were the another team that barely beat that Tarleton State or whatever they are from Texas. And Arizona demolished them last week. Couldn't happen to a better group than that group. But they've got football to lean on right now. That's a good thing for them. All right, let's do some NFL true or false to finish up the show.
Kevin, let's start off in the AFC. Are the Patriots the best team in the AFC, true or false?
False. I mean, I actually would love to see it. You know, when we were talking to Sam earlier, I almost mentioned the fact that, you know, what's interesting about the season right now is that the hottest team in the AFC is a team that really doesn't stretch the field necessarily. I know they do a little bit with Kendrick Bourne, but they're running more than they're throwing with New England. Baltimore's obviously that team as well. I am going with what Scott said last week, because when he said it, I kind of like, yeah, that's it. And that is, I'm going to go with Mahomes and Rodgers. So the answer on your AFC question is no, because I think Kansas City's better.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time agreeing with you, but I do. So let me offer this follow-up. Does Bill Belichick deserve the Coach of the Year award?
If they end up with the number one seed in the AFC, absolutely. Like, it shouldn't even be a question, right?
I think if they win the AFC East, he deserves it.
Okay, I mean, who are the candidates for Coach of the Year? Kingsbury, Belichick,
LaFleur.
Has Belichick ever won a Coach of the Year?
I'm not 100% certain, but I don't think he has.
Yeah, it never goes to the teams that are expected to win. If they win that division, and more importantly, if they end up the number one seed, absolutely. Right?
He would totally deserve it. He's won Coach of the Year 3 times.
He has. Yeah. Was it earlier in the Patriots' run?
03, 07, 2010.
Okay. Well, the 07 team, obviously, because it went undefeated. Okay. What's your next one?
The Packers are the best team in the NFC, true or false?
True. I said that quickly, too, because I believe it. And I think we're headed for a Green Bay-Tampa Bay rematch in the NFC Championship game, and I think it's going to be at Lambeau. I think Green Bay... That win over the Rams when they were an underdog at home and really seemed to hit their stride again. And they really started to hit their stride offensively in the second half at Minnesota, the game they lost. But I think it's Green Bay in the NFC. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. I think it's Tampa once they're fully healthy.
Okay.
Speaking of Tampa, Tom Brady is now the favorite for the MVP. Can you make a case for anyone else?
Well, I mean, the Jonathan Taylor talk has to pipe down, I guess, a little bit. God, it's such a hard MVP conversation. I mean, I don't know that you can make an obvious case for anybody else right now, but again, we've got 5 games or 6 games left for just about everybody. So that's a lot of season left for that to change. I don't know the answer to that. I can't make a case for anybody else. Can you make a case for anybody else?
Not really. I think the only other person you really could have was Kyler Murray, but then they won 2 out of 3 without him, and now I'm not exactly
sure.
They won
2 out of 3 without him with Colt McCoy.
Yeah, so true. I'm not exactly sure that you can make a case. I mean, here's the thing. It's not like he's an overwhelming favorite.
Uh-huh.
But Josh Allen hasn't really looked great lately.
No.
They've been losing games.
You know who could end up being it? Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I think those are probably your 2 best bets.
What's next?
My next question isn't a true or false. It's more of just a landscape of the NFL kind of thing. Who do you think has been the most impactful injury in the NFL so far this season?
I got to think about that. I mean, the first name that comes to mind is Derrick Henry.
He just ran for like 300 yards against the Patriots.
I know they did. Who are the quarterbacks that have gone down? I mean, you know what? In some ways, and I don't put it this way, if Seattle had a healthy quarterback all season long, they wouldn't be 3-8. I don't know if it's the most impactful, but I think that they would be more in the thick of, say, a wild card race if Russell Wilson had been Russell Wilson all year long. Who am I missing? I'm probably missing somebody that's obvious.
So I actually think if not for Russell Wilson, I think the answer would be Brian Bulaga in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't been the same since that right side of the offensive line has gone down.
You think that's the reason? I mean, because Stafford also apparently is really struggling with lower back issues.
He's the right tackle for the Chargers. They haven't been the same.
Yeah.
Since he and I think it's Obushi, the right guard. They just haven't been the same. They haven't been able to do a lot of deep shots. They haven't been able to get...
They were unbelievably explosive and good against the Steelers, and that was just, what, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago?
Steelers had a lot of injuries, though, that week.
I know, but it was an unbelievable offensive night for Herbert and for everybody.
But then you look at what happened against Denver, and they can't get anything going.
By the way, people are going to make excuses for Matt Stafford. I think Matt Stafford's a really good quarterback. There is definitely something wrong beyond just the injuries if he's banged up. He's played a lot of his career banged up. Understand that he, you know, a lot of those years in Detroit was always playing hurt. He was on the injury report week in and week out in Detroit and would always play. And they talked last week, there was a report just about how he's having major lower back issues, which would really be a major problem for him. But I also think something's off there offensively.
Yeah, and that was going to be my other answer is Robert Woods. They just don't have the offense or the pieces around him. Van Jefferson's really good. Cooper Kupp is still on pace to have a monster season. But the offense, Odell Beckham is not that fit for Robert Woods.
I'm not giving out the Saints as an official smell test pick tonight, but the public's on the Cowboys tonight, and there is a little bit of sharp money now that Taysom Hill is starting tonight on New Orleans, but it's not overwhelming either direction, so I'm going to pass as an official smell test pick, but with the smell test is 1-2 out of the last 3 weeks. I'm personally, though, going to play the Saints, so I'd give a strong lean to the Saints plus the 4.5. Plus the 5, whatever the number is. Big game tonight. We'll talk about that and obviously preview Washington and the Raiders tomorrow. Thanks to Charch. Thanks to Sam Fortier. Thanks to Brendan. Thanks to all of you. Stay tuned. Travis is up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.